Blog Talk Radio.
Well, mother is a message. Got to get the message to our brothers and sisters.
Hallelujah. Greetings, Hotep, and welcome to the Care of the Read Room. You've got your Omega 7 here today, and today is Friday. Thank goodness it's Friday. TGI, Thanksgiving. Thanking you for this Friday this evening, and we want to welcome each and every one of you to our Friday segment as we discuss reparation. Once again, I am the Emperor, the one you need, providing you with all of your services. I am here at your disposal. I am your advocate on Omega 7, the one you want, and I am also the advisor, the one you need. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, you're in the Care to Read Room, which has been underwritten by Project 2019. We are a family and consumer science department where we focus in on literacy and closing the gap for African Americans in areas of disparity of information, closing the gap of filling in information, allowing African Americans to be exposed about mind, body, soul, and spirit. And we're now focusing in on economic. We've been talking about how to get wealth, not just getting a job, but getting wealth. We've been talking about why should we accept reparation and what plans should we use for outlining and scaling out the structure of our reparation. I did indicate earlier that we have already been extended a form of reparation from the African chiefs over in various different continents in Africa. They have offered land, ladies and gentlemen. Now, in offering that land, they have offered an apology as well for the part that they played in the slave trade. And to be exact, Ghana has come forward and apologized to all African Americans of the diaspora that had family members that were recipients of slaves, and they have offered land. And I indicated that I knew we were going to get reparation because there's some people who have already ascertained their land. Now, whether or not they'll get the 40 acres and the mule, that's a different story. Now, I asked a question yesterday, was it important for America to step up and follow suit and ask for forgiveness and offer something in the form of reparation? I had a debater that called in and said that they didn't think we were entitled to any reparation because we were not the ones who were incarcerated in enslavement. However, we are the offsprings and we are the recipients of the offsprings. Now, we've got a problem in how the law works. Apparently, there are double standards when it comes to looking at our law. And ladies and gentlemen, I interrupt this day's segment. Please note that I'm interrupting today's segment, and this is a public service announcement. I'm interrupting it because of a number of different parallel issues that have come about that we need to focus in on. We are going to be praying, and we're also going to be calling on ancestors, but the order is going to be a little different today because I spoke it into existence that we have got to not only look at reparation, but what is going on today that is still perpetuating some of the same laws that were created specifically for African Americans, which still hold them captive and puts them into slavery. I interrupt this show to bring you a broadcast just as I speak to talk about what some of our African Americans are currently still enduring right now, but yet some people think we are not entitled to reparation. Some people think because our prior ancestors have transpired that we are no longer recipients of any reparation. I beg the difference with them. I beg the difference with whoever thinks we're not entitled. As I explained earlier, African Americans have truly been an asset to this United States of America. We have come here illiterate, unable to speak the native tongue, and through neglect on the part of the slave owners, they refused to allow us to learn to read, and in spite of all those apprehensions, we still managed to learn to read. and not only learn to read, but to master the gifts of writing and reading like Tahuti. We've learned to become citizens in the United States, to take office, to carry responsibility all the way up to the presidency. I would say we've done a darn good job for ourselves in spite of all the odds and differences. And we have not been bitter because of it. In fact, we've loved the master more than we loved ourselves. What's wrong, master? Is us sick? We sick, master. We have loved the master more than we've loved our own families. We've given so much of ourselves and not at one time caused any hardship because we didn't get the reparation. We have gone and endured for a long time. Now, the part that upsets us the most is that the judicial system, the legislature system, has not been written with us in mind. In fact, just as Dr. says about the fact that we've been scammed and shampooed about every little thing that pertains to political, and we've been scammed so bad that we thought we were being included where we were being excluded. We have been scammed to the point of even the Emancipation Proclamation. Now that we have more knowledge than we know what to do with, and we've found out and figured this thing out, then we come to you with truths. The Constitution, we hold these truths to be self-evident. And as we present these truths to you, they mean nothing because you've never included us in the first place. Now, we have youngsters who want to know their rights and their laws, but yet we find the books still covered with the old laws and still encapsulating these young men and women and denying them of expedient trial and a right to a jury of their own peers, just as I'm sitting here. Now, you've got a system that's so overburdened and broken that if somebody walked in and said, I want this system to be monitored, who would step up and monitor it? But see, where does the change come and where does it start? Does it start in our White House to talk to Obama about the injustice? What if his children get caught up in the law and their rights are violated? What will happen then? They will soon be of age where they have to exercise the system. What will then happen for his children? There are young people getting caught up into this system. The system only works sometimes for some people, but not all the time for all the people. So you know what? African Americans are darn tired of it. I mean, they're darn tired of it. It doesn't matter about the reparation. It doesn't even matter about the respect. But it matters how you can hold a human being in a trap as if they're an animal and subject them to things that are not even acceptable for animal. It matters when you can falsify things and use them against people. That's what we're aiming to change. Keep the mule. You can even keep the $100. But you got to leave man with his dignity. And when you leave a man or woman with their dignity, then you have done no harm. Do no harm. Now, when I read in the books that it was once a law that a slave owner had the right to beat their slave to death if he thought the slave was going to rise up against him, and that the slave owner would not be held for any charges and would not be charged with a felony. Yet, that person would have beaten a person unto death. I ask the question, are there double standards? Can you kill a black man and he has no soul, no representation, and he is not being held, someone's not being held accountable for the death of this black human being? I ask the question, is it a right for a slave owner to beat his slave to death? And is it right for any policeman to beat or violate a person who has not been convicted of a crime, but is merely being held and held out until his trial? Is it right to beat those persons unto submission? Is it right? Now tell me now, if those laws were on the books for slaves and yet we're 100% free, can it be possible that some of those same laws are being perpetuated? We're looking for answers so that we can get true freedom, freedom in the court system. You might even say, keep the filthy lucre. Just give us justice in the courtroom. Give us the ability to properly be represented. With all honors due to all the lawyers, then the excessive amount of lawyers all over the world who are helping. Do you not know when you take the position to become a lawyer, you also submit yourself to giving so many free hours back to the community? Do you not know that pro bono lawyers can hardly be found anywhere, and some of them still want a minimum fee for consultation? I am here to tell you, only spent 3 full years of giving pro bono time as a legal assistant to all of the elderly. That's right. And I spent time giving free assistance for due process hearing in the school system to families. Whenever they came to me, my services, by law, I felt I had to give some pro bono and give something back. The average lawyer now is not even available to take a case free of charge or pro bono. So you've got people being unrepresented in court. You have public defenders who are riding both sides of the wave, and at one point, they know in their heart that they cannot represent a client who wants to go to trial. They know that. And they can't even tell that person to hope for expedient trial or hope for a jury of their own peers. Today's segment is, when you're offered a public defender, be glad that someone offered you that public defender, but know that you are not going to go to trial. Young people don't know this. They think that someone's coming to their rescue. Now, I say the judicial system can be changed and correct. You don't have to give us your filthy lucre, because in due time, God Almighty is going to show us the way to get over the grain house anyway. But you have to open up the books about the laws, and you have to change the laws so the decks are not stacked against us, and you have to give us a fair and equal chance. Just as you took our religion away from us and we was able to see into the future, and God gave us insight how to read into the future and how to forecast, He will give us that again. And just as we dodged some of those holes and ditches so that we wouldn't fall in, don't you think that God will continue to give us the ability to be able to dodge the same holes and ditches? But you cannot continue to play unfairly. You cannot continue to stack the decks against each individual and play the shampoo game and laugh as if the tricks and the laughs are on us. You cannot continue to do that, because God sees you and what you're doing. And you must understand, a part of reparation is to give America part of the all-America dream. When they brought that statue over here, the Statue of Liberty, it was for to give all men and women liberty. And that's what we hope to get. Stay tuned for station identification, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm not riding in on the Emperor today. I will be back at you in the atmosphere I'm calling on the power of faith today to lead us on.
Every day, from the moment I wake, there are thoughts that stay on my mind. Is there really a way to keep faith in a heart that seems that our lives are falling apart? Dreams from the night, follow me when I rise, and my fears bring tears to my eyes. Will our hope be realized? Will our children survive? Will they see freedom in their?
Power.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, our faith is strong, and I interrupt these broadcasts to bring you a special segment. Today is Friday, ladies and gentlemen, and you know how we like to kick it up on Friday. But we're going to be a little bit more serious on this note today because we have some intercession that needs to take place for a number of our listening audience who need to have intercession done for them now. What I'd like to say is that we're going to go into our form of meditation, and we are not going to do our traditional ancestral talking cure because we have a session this evening, and we are not going to do that currently now because I'm going to have to do that later on. But what I'd like to do is zone you into the program and what we're talking about. We will do a quiet meditation to bring us into the session because we always have to acknowledge our higher force, and we will do that. And we're going to ask for protection for a listening audience as well as ourselves. There is a number of things that we are going to be engaging in for the protection of the family. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you would quiet your spirits with me right now, as you quiet your spirit, I ask you to get quiet in your spirit, and I ask you to allow your higher self to permeate your whole content. And as your contents go into deep, deep sleep, allowing yourself to go into a meditation zone, allowing yourself to go into a talking cure where you begin to allow the higher force to speak through you and to you. Quiet your spirits and take deep breaths, breathing in and breathing out, breathing in and breathing out, and allowing yourself to chant the mantra, quieting your spirit, allowing God to permeate through you. There are many causes and many issues on this universe that are plaguing the African Americans. There are many issues in the legal institute that are currently now a problem for so many people across the nation. As we take deep breaths and begin to realize that God is the solution, as we align ourselves and permeate our thoughts with the quiet, with the higher force today, we allow God to listen in and to speak to us and through us. Ladies and gentlemen, as we take those deep breaths, remember that God is a higher force and that we collaborate with God, and we have the opportunity of using the tools that belong to God. We'd like to thank you at this very moment. We'd like to thank you that you come aboard to go on this journey with us as we've interrupted our daily segment to talk about the court system. We have focused in on reparation, and we like to set this day aside to talk about the legal court system. What can we do about the overran court system and the redundant number of cases and the situation where the courts need help? What can we do to change things in this situation? Are you on this phone, Steven? You got both your phones? What can we do in this situation where we allow our people in the community to intervene and offer up assistance and helping? Now, as we told you earlier, we know the system is broken. They have no money to give out to anybody for reparation. However, we do know that they've already began to line land and lay land aside for us. Ladies and gentlemen, the reason why I call money filthy lucre is because it doesn't have our image on it. Now, the way you get to have filthy lucre with your face and image on it, you must own land. Now, if you can't give money, there's enough land sitting and laying dormant that we could have long had land to compensate for the inadequacy of reparation. But with all of these houses laying dormant and all of them being under foreclosure and owned by the bank, if the country was going to give us reparation, they could have long given us some of this land. as we speak, there are people that are outdoors without homes. So that's not going to be the case with America giving us land. Now that we know that, and we've heard that our chiefs in Africa have extended us land, then we certainly want to check out what the options are for that land. And will that land give us ability to get on our feet and reestablish ourselves? I'm going to put some questions out into the audience, out into the atmosphere and the audience, and I'm going to give that call number out for those listening audience out there, 646-478-0270. We like to put out that number and invite you to call in with your statements and comments in reference to the penal institution, the Constitution. Is there something we can do to correct the Constitution to include our names in the Emancipation Proclamation and to also give us more rights than what we currently have now? It's out in the listening audience, and if you're out there, please call in. I'm going to answer this phone. Hello? Hello? You're in the Care to Read room. Who am I speaking to? Hello, you're in the Care to Read room. You're in the atmosphere.
Yes.
Now we've been talking about the Penal Institute and how can we change the Penal Institute to assist and aid African Americans.
Yeah, I'm black myself, and I've been with our people not being able to just step up to the plate and be intelligent enough to. Just take control. And we really can't play the victim role, and we've got to just take responsibility for, handling this situation and bring that job of it. I just don't think we're doing a good job. I don't mean to come off negative, but black people are just going to have to stand up and be intelligent and fight the system from an intelligence standpoint and not just from an emotional point of view. What's your response to that?
I agree with you. You're right on the money, brother. And what did you say your name was again, sir?
Melvin.
Okay, Melvin. What I agree with that you said was black people are just going to have to step up to the plate and become more intelligent about the situation. You're absolutely right. There is some laziness going on our, from our point of view. We really need to
Now, don't get me wrong. There's some injustices, and I for one, would say that white people have been the cause of most of the mistreatment on the planet. Any intelligent person would have to say that because of European meddling, they want to call it, or domination. In case of Africa, we didn't get in on ships and go to Europe to take anything from Europe. Europe came to Africa. We were minding our own business.
And I agree with you, Mel. I certainly agree with you. What I was going to say is that, the part that we can make a difference in changing is the area of becoming more astute to the laws and more informed about the laws. And when we do go to court, we have better handle of what our rights are and know when we've been violated. It's so bad now that young people, when they get a public defender, they think the public defender is truly representing them. They have no knowledge that the public defender works for the state and is there to offer them a deal. And it becomes a whole audience of let's make a deal. And young people, all they know is that here's somebody want to help me, they say, and they're offering me a deal, and they don't realize the lesser of the two evil if they want to go to court and prove their case. The first thing they'll tell them is you'll never win, and you don't have the funds to pay for the court costs, and a lawyer is going to be horrendous. So then you then have young people who've never been in trouble before, who don't want their record scarred, and they want to get this thing over with, and they immediately say, well, I'll go ahead and take that plea bargain. What is it? Well, we're going to give you probation, And it's not going to be in your record if you have good record for a year. And you might have to take 1 year and do a whole year in jail. And then here these young people say, well, okay, now I still got something on my record. I got to do time or I got to be on probation. So it becomes, let's make a deal.
Well, I have to agree with that. I traveled extensively throughout Europe and United States, and what I found, the Europeans look after their people. The Europeans do not, they do not profit off of the mistreatment of their people, whereas of the mistreatment of its people. Given the history of racial hatred in America, that racial hatred has turned me. So yeah, I look at the criminal justice system, and it's a system fueled off of taking advantage of the ignorant. That's why I say if black people would just step up to the plate and become more intelligent, then they could subvert all of this mistreatment at the hands of hateful white people. And I'm a, because a lot of my friends are white, okay? Predominantly, my crowd is white, and I tell them that their fathers and their forefathers have come through a long line of hatred and mistreatment. But I say
excuse me, Melvin, can I make an insertion? Can I make an insertion, Melvin? I like to make an insertion. I understand exactly what you're saying and the escalated feeling, the emotion that you talked about where black people have got to stop being emotional. We want to cool down the emotion right now if we can. You're absolutely right. Nobody wants to hear about African-American crying and weeping and being emotional. That's part of what's the problem. We've been so emotional, we haven't dealt with the real issues at hand. And we are not in any position to take a shampoo. We're not in any position to go in the courtroom and to play around with our lives. We have to have clear-cut ideas of what the case is and how we're going to spend the time. If we are truly innocent, we want justice, and we want to have a clear case.
That is, I agree, but how are you going to get a society that's a young society? Come on, I mean, it's on thug life, and thugs, it's like it's glorified to be a thug, to go to jail, to serve some time. Jesus Christ.
Okay, excuse me, Melvin. Melvin, I want to clarify something. Everybody's not a thug, Melvin, and I want you to also know that people that go into the courtrooms are not all thugs. Maybe that's the glamour life they want to portray, but they're women that are getting drugged and beaten, and they are being violated right in courtrooms. And they are being hauled off, and they are being treated as if they are nothing, thrown in holes. Now, these women, sometimes informed and knowledgeable, and some who are not, who think that that public defender is their God Almighty lawyer. And when he walks up to them and tell them, I'm sorry, I am not your lawyer, what do they do then after all this time when they thought he was a lawyer? What do they do?
Well, it begs this observation. Black people are going to have to get responsible representation. They're going to have to be able to pay for it. Unfortunately, some of white mistreatment or I don't know what's the word that what is that word they use? White supremacy or well, you know, white people mistreating black. Going to stop until the black people can match the white people with the intelligence level to make it go away and stop. And in the case of what you just the money to get proper representation, you're going to have to be able to pay somebody to advocate for you to represent you. It just boils down to that.
Can I make an insertion here, Melvin? What I'd like to make a ploy for is all those attorneys that are out there without jobs or gigs right now and those paralegals who have vacated all of those pro bono facilities in Chicago. May I make a ploy to those paralegals? I am a paralegal. I spent 3 years volunteering NAACP. I spent 3 years volunteering for them, and I also gave my time relentlessly to NAACP, and I believe beyond a shadow of a doubt that we become richer when we offer our services. And if they would go back to push NAACP and become pro bono facilitators, a large portion of our incarcerated people could get proper representation. It is embarrassing the way court is being carried out now and the way that these public defenders are offering these deals to these young people. And they coming out with their some of them are still waiting to be convicted. And they have not been convicted, and yet it is being placed on their record. And when they go out to find a job and they're still going to court for a case, they are being violated as if they've been tried and convicted. So we've got a shampooing going on again where people are getting their records flawed, and yet they still are going out there trying to get these public defenders to represent them like bona fide lawyers. How could they? They're working both sides of the field. And then you got people who don't have $15,000 and they don't have $10,000 to give a lawyer. And some of the lawyers will say, well, if you don't pay the certain percentage up front, we can't take the case. So you got a situation where lawyers don't have cases. They're not properly representing the minority because they can't come up with the money. Then you got the public defenders masquerading to be a lawyer. And they don't keep up with their cases. So you got young people who don't know about court proceedings, and if they miss something, then these public defenders are saying, I'm not your lawyer. And so my question is where can you find proper representation? So if you can get these black laws off the book and show our African-American people that the system still works, where can we go to get justice so that we know the system works for us?
Well, I hate to say this, but America is going to implode from inside because of the rapid mistreatment of its people, be they black, Mexican, Jew, white.
Can you hold on, Melvin? I see another caller out here. I want to answer this other caller and say hello to him. Hold on. We'll be right back at you in the air. Caller, you're in the air. Hello. Caller, you're in the air. Hello. Hello, caller, you're in the air. You have the Care to Read room. Hello? Hello, caller, you're in the air. Okay, I guess that caller is not answering. Let me go back to Melvin. Melvin?
Mm-hmm.
Melvin, you're in the air.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, my stance now that black people have to stop. If not, this country cannot progress. You can't, because the Mexicans, you know, they're being mistreated, and they're just being pimped and used. But the gross mistreatment of the people of America, that all that has to turn, it has to start from the top. It has to start from the you view people as targets. You view people as profit centers. The whole psychology of America and how it treats its people is going to have to stop. If not, America would not be around another 300 years. I guarantee you. I guarantee you. You can't continue to mistreat people, and you can't continue to do people unjustly and for a just system. It's just not going to work. I mean, I look at these poor blacks who come from generation and generation and generation of welfare and generation of ignorance, and that was all due to slavery and not allowing black people to read or be educated. But for God's sakes, we just had mainline education in the last 50 years. So, of course, we're going to get mistreated in the criminal justice system. We don't have the intelligence nor the monies to pay for legal representation. So, of course, drunk charges are put on us because we can't defend ourselves. That's race. That's right. And that's unfair. And so unfair. If the intelligence of this country don't look at this and see that, you know, we have to change. We have to start treating people properly. And it's not just in America, but all over the world, people are being mistreated. It's the mistreatment of the human beings I'm talking about, Omi.
It could be olive oil, Okay.
Omi, are you there?
I'm trying to finish up this show.
Omi, are you there? I'm talking about world, and because I'm black
okay.
and in America, properly educated, and I can see these things. And a lot of educated people, black and white, can see these things. But my question is, when are we as a nation of people going to stand up to the mistreatment of people? This is very, very important. It is the foundation of the survival of our way of life and our system. We cannot continue to mistreat people, and the least of us get mistreated. That is very bad.
Small down payment, but he's supposed to be real good. They recommended him. And she wants her to email her a brief write-up of the case because she's going to get it to Al Shopton and Jesse Jackson so they can read it. And she wants her to go and find all of those channels and call in and give a brief statement, okay? But let me try to finish up this show. Okay, I'll talk to you second. Bye-bye.
Yes, I'd like to ask the question, Melvin. You've been really, really diligent and doing your due diligence, and I appreciate, you know, the information you're giving me, because you're certainly right. There are some problems out here, but there's certainly some problems with the penal institution and our government system. You have a real serious problem where the courtrooms are maxed out, and you have people that are cattled in that are predominantly minorities, and when they come in, they have no understanding of the procedure of the courtroom. And they have had their courses in school of Constitution, and they kind of have a working order of how it's supposed to work. But when they get in the courtroom, they keep getting referrals and continuance, and they're not sure if they want this to be expedient or what. And they're being told that it's a lot better if you just go ahead and take a charge. Excuse me, Melvin, I like to talk now. And some of them are being told, just go ahead and plead guilty. And they're looking at them saying, but I'm not. They say, but it's a lot easier. It's cheaper for you because you don't have the money to get a lawyer, plus the court costs. And these innocent people are taking plea bargains. That has to stop because people are not being tried of a jury of their peers, and they're not having their constitutional rights exercised in this expedient trial. I'd like to know, is there any way we can appeal to someone about this? And if we don't get our 40 acres in Mew, can we at least get justice in the courtroom? Melvin?
I stand on what I've been saying all evening here, and that is America
what's that,
has
Melvin?
To be.
What is that, Melvin?
And that is the mistreatment of people all over the world and in America. What does America produce? What are we producing in terms of people? What do we really produce? Look at its people and ask the question, what do we produce? We're failing because we cannot raise up the least of us. So how are we a great nation? How? Because we give out welfare and then we take those welfare people and throw them in jail? That's miserable. What are we producing? Go to your universities. What are you producing? They're turning criminal.
Melvin, are you posing that question to me or to the listening audience? Listening audience, Melvin is posing that question to anyone out there that would like to call in to comment on that, because I know there are a lot of you out there listening right now, and I would urge you to call in and dial that number, 646-478-0670. Call in, because Melvin is posing some great questions here. And Melvin, I do want to let you know one thing. African Americans have not been treated right over the years, and you and I both know that. And in the courtroom, they're even more character assassinated. And once it gets on their record, it affects their insurance rate. It affects their ability to get a job. If they have Section 8, it affects their housing. It affects everything. And this is a burden that they shouldn't have to bear if they have not been convicted and they have to agree to taking a plea bargain. Look at all of the burdens that a young person has to carry because of the first case that they may be innocent, but they'll say, well, okay, we're going to give you probation, but they keep them tied into the court system. It becomes a game.
It becomes a cancer on the society. Build people so that you have a strong country. The country is weak because the least of the country is weak and mistreated and stepped on. They use as a doormat. I mean, no more. It's fueling the pockets of the judges and lawyers and who, God knows. It is an atrocity. I'm telling you, this is really bad. get him the breakdown.
I know it's bad, but I am really concerned for the mothers out there who have children and have a lot to lose, who are the breadwinners of the family, and, you know, and go in on a traffic case or go in on a case that might affect them in the long run. I mean, how expedient is it for them to go to court? Is it like a two-year? I mean, would you say that waiting 2 years would be a violation because they have not been given a right to a speedy trial? See, then you got them taken off work, and then when they go to court, it's renewed and referred and delayed and the whole bit. It becomes a joke. So maybe the court system is overburdened. Maybe it's time that the African-Americans say, let us become solvent and set up our own government system and govern our own people. When I lived in Europe, the Germans did not govern you. They called your official, and you were sent back to your officials to be governed. That's the same thing that needs to happen for African Americans, because if we're overburdening the urban city police force, then send us into the inner city and let us be judged. At least when we're going through our system could be more sensitive to the issues and try to find real solution and not bandage problems up and keeping people locked away, incarcerated with no real rehabilitation. And that's what I'm concerned with under this new reparation. When you've been given, you know, a chance to start over and get on your feet, then truly, if you are so busy locking people up, convicting them of a crime, taking away their rights to be able to vote, taking away their rights to being a citizen, and making teachers into felons, and it begins to be a criminalistic society, and you wonder, can you make it in society? So, sure, if they don't want to give us the horse, and they don't have the $100 to give us a better system to live in. You've got people going abroad, living much better, having more access to the law and more fairness. My concern is there is no fairness in the law, only to the extent of what you can pay for. And African Americans being very poor, going into the penal institution, they can't buy a lot of legal services. Now, I would like to speak to those lawyers out there. You know, there are a number of ways you can do this program to give people back service. And there used to be a time when NAACP always wanted to offer their assistant to take cases. I know for a fact I spent a whole year reading their cases, trying to make recommendation to do fact-finding and to write briefs, the whole bit. I spent a large amount of time, but I did see a point where even NAACP was limited to what they could do and what they could accept. So when you find your main non-for-profit organizations overburdened and they can't take on these cases, then what do you do, Melvin? What do you do? Melvin, what do you do? Are you there, Melvin?
Yeah, I'm here. I tell you, Alinka, it's even talking about it is overburdening. And this is my travels in Europe show me that America is truly barbaric, behind times, and I don't know what to say. The only thing you can do is write your congressman and talk to your state representative. Go to your church, get involved in the political process, and get the politicians to change the laws, really bend their arms. Then go to the justice. Eric Holder, he's a black man on the justice system. Let's make some changes there. But we got to get involved. The only way to get involved is get the black Christian church, the so-called black or the Christian.
Stop it right there, Melvin. Melvin, stop it right there. Melvin, stop it right there. You stop it right there. Now you're talking about our black churches. Now you know they're not going to have you talking about our black churches. You've committed the most greatest, foulest sin in the world. You're talking about our churches, and you called it by name. It's the churches. They need to step up. When you got people that are tied in the church, and one of your congregation members get in trouble, It used to be Jesse Jackson would go downtown and he would stand down there until he had the bail money to bail out his congregation member, and then he would go to court with them, then he would support them. I saw this in action. Now you can't get a mealy-mouthed preacher to even call on the phone to inquire about one of his congregation members to find out what happened. How much money do you need? We'll raise the money. Now when you go to a church and say, I need money, they look at you and turn your back and say, we need to have a board meeting. And the board comes back and say, we're broke and we can't help you. They watch their people go through all of these changes in the courtroom, and they don't offer a dime, and they don't even try to muster up any type of fundraisers. That is unheard of. These preachers ought to be ashamed of themselves. And they need to come forward and help their people.
Wait a minute, Omi. Don't the preachers go under the banner of their the man of God? Then so
they're supposed to
go under the banner that he's the man of God. Then where is God, his boss, in all of this?
Yeah. Now, what did you say, Melvin?
If the preacher is the man of God, called of God, the preacher, then if the manager, the preacher, is not doing his job, we need to go to his boss. Or God. The God is
God.
Not doing his job.
Wait, Melvin. Melvin, since when did we go to God on someone who calls himself the preacher? Now, how are we going to go to God? What are we going to say to God? Look here, God. The preacher is not presenting himself well before the congregation. He is not providing all of the needs of these. I mean, you've got young people who are so innocent and who have gone to churches and said, look, I'm going to need the support of the church. I need the media to come out. The churches start closing the doors. They are not confrontational. They do not want to be into political issues. So if they have no standpoint on taking political issues, what is salt good for if it's not there to savor anything? It's good for nothing but what? Trampling over. The churches were supposed to be created for radical change. Martin Luther King stood for writing cases and dealing with pro bono cases. And if they didn't work on those things, they know that they were insufficient in the black community. We don't need a church to be there to tell us how sanctified we are and when to pray. We need a church to work on liberal things to make liberal changes in the community. So when are these churches going to come back to a liberal standpoint to really act as an institution to make changes, radical changes? What do you say, Melvin? Listen, the audience, if you're out there, call in. Because we're not just dumping on the preachers. We want to hear from the preachers. If you're out there, call in. Because we got congregational members who need you, preacher. And they need you to step up and assist them.
No, you can jump on the preachers. After all, when people give their money to these churches in terms of tithing, I mean, that's an investment. That's an investment in your
family. Investment in what, Melvin? Investment in what?
That's a spiritual investment.
Investment in what?
You're investing in your church, your community, when you tithe.
To get what out of it, though?
To get the cooperation of the power of the church.
And they're supposed to do what? Come and support you and see about you.
They're supposed to advocate for the people's cause, for your cause.
Okay. And get involved in radical issues, right?
We have to make the tools work, Umi. We've got to make the tools work. Paul, what are we for people? That's why I'm saying black people have to step up to the plate and become more intelligent.
Okay, but how do you suppose that they become intelligent? Are they supposed to become intelligent through osmosis?
No. It has to start where black people go to get a sober message. That is at the church level.
Melvin, do you feel that we need a church, or should we be changing the churches to different things?
I don't advocate throwing it under the bus unless you have a substitute. If you don't have a substitute, then make the church work. Make the church work to eradicate us out of Jim Crow. So now make the church work to get us out of this mistreatment that seems to be running rampant everywhere. Everybody wants to mistreat a black person.
Melvin, could you do me a favor and give the listening audience a little information on Jim Crow and when does Jim Crow start and what's Jim Crow all about? Let's tell the listening audience. Some of them don't know.
Well, started right after 1864, right after we were so black people were freed. You had 100 years of Jim Crow from 1864 to 1964. You had the Jim Crow era. The Jim Crow era ushered in 100 lynchings where blacks were mutilated, hung. The Ku Klux Klan came out. Jim Crow ushered in the era of sharecroppers. Instead of being a slave, now you're a sharecropper, which is just a cousin of slavery. So, you know, this mistreatment of us has been going on for a long time, just disguised under the banner of the words that white people use. We've got to become educated.
And I certainly agree with you, Melvin. We have got to become educated. That's what this show is all about, listening audience, is informing us and becoming educated about shampoo. As I told you, that shampoo was a concept of us being giving all of the poo with no real substance, just like young people learning their constitutional rights and the amendments, knowing that the 13th, 14th Amendment was written specifically for us and how it applies to us. We've got to get in those things in church. The church members have got to go into those laws, tear those laws apart, and replicate what they mean and get into the Emancipation Proclamation so that, blacks will know exactly what those laws represent. And just like Huey, when Huey knew the laws, no one challenged him on the laws. And when you bring the laws out and use them, but as long as they lay there dormant and they're not being used, they're no good. They must be recited and memorized, and they must be deciphered so that when you use the laws, you use them appropriately. We got too many young people that don't know how to apply the laws appropriate, and they go in and they don't know when they're being violated, and they don't know that they have a right to expedient trial or a right to a jury of their own peers. When you say you're going to have a bench jury and you don't have peers there and you don't have the ability to have witnesses so they can cross-examine, then you have your rights have been violated, and we have too much of this going on. There needs to be somebody to survey the court's rooms and monitor courts to see what inappropriate thing is happening. What are you laughing at, Melvin? What is so funny? What is funny, Melvin? Melvin, are you there? Now, Melvin's gone into a silly laugh, but I am serious, ladies and gentlemen. You are calling into the Care to Read room, and we have interrupted our normal service to talk about this radical thing that's happening in the courtrooms where we have no representation for young people who are getting public defenders under the impression that they have a lawyer, and they tell their parents, don't worry, I have a lawyer, and the public defenders are telling them right up front, there will be no trial, please take an offer, plead guilty. When young people know this is their first time, and they say, I'm innocent, but I'm innocent, and they'll say, well, you end up getting time, and you'll end up getting thrown in jail, and they pretty much decipher the case for them and push them into taking the plea bargain. That has to stop, jury. That has to stop, public defender. That has to stop, judge. It really does, because it's not fair to our young people who are not sure of what their rights are and how and why they're pleading guilty. It's got to be another way. If the courtrooms are overburdened and they don't have the time to hear the cases, which sometimes they don't, then as a reparation, give the power back to the people. For God's sake, you got to give more power to the people. Give the power back to the African-American community. Let them rule their own people. Let them take responsibility from sending them through the penal institution and making the judgment like Moses did, giving them a fair chance and a chance for real rehabilitation. I'm not talking about making good people into criminals and frustrating them with the court system and dragging them through and beating them down and breaking their spirit to the point where they become animals. Women, of all people, I thought it was unheard of. They're being treated worse than the men, and they're having to go through something, and they're frustrated and they're tired. And some of them are going to rise up as gods, and they're going to tell the story of what goes on behind these prisons. And I don't know if you know this when you're messing with a god, and if they have connection to ancestors, and if they cry out, and when they cry out, their story is going to be made known. And the worst thing you can do is hurt one of God's feminine choices, and his side is feminine. The worst thing you can do is that. And what I see happening in this penal institution is a God-given disgrace. And it nowhere comparable to nothing but barbaric behavior. And something has got to be done. Now, you won't give us the reparations because the bank is broke, but you can give us our liberty and give us free. Give us free. If you don't have time to try the cases, make a deal, talk to the preachers and get them endorsed to hear cases. They're doing nothing else in these churches but wasting the people's time. Deputize them. Train them to become judges and let them govern their own people. Make them useful in the community. But certainly, the good judges that you have in the courtroom, they are just overwhelmed. And then they are trying their very best to understand the culture. They don't understand the culture when a young person walks up there and says, I have no address. And they're saying, well, we want to release you, ma'am. We want to send you home, but we must have an address to send you to. You have to go back to jail. Do you know how heartbreaking that is for a mother that's almost out of her mind and can't see straight? I saw it happen. It broke my heart to see her go back into prison because she had no known address. The judge can't see it. He don't see how it's possible because he doesn't live in the hood. But if a woman was being tried in her own community, a judge of that community would be more sensitive and understand and know that this woman needs rehabilitation. That is what we're looking for, rehabilitation and help for our people. Not more incarceration and locking them up, but real rehabilitation of helping them. That's what we're talking about. And if you can give and extend that to our people, then maybe we will be satisfied. We can't continue to max out the prison. We can't continue to max out the prison. We can't continue to max out the prisons. And we can't continue to use shampoo to fool the young people about getting a public defender and taking a plea bargain, knowing that if their families got together, they could muster up and rally up enough money for a bona fide lawyer, a criminal lawyer. We have to do something better than what we're doing. We have to. We're doing things differently now. And we know that time is upon us. And that's why we had to interrupt this segment to bring you face-to-face with the truth of what's happening in the courtrooms and how urgent it is that we now start asking for sovereignty and governing our own self. Forget the filthy lucre. Keep it. We can make our own. Because truly, once we get land, we'll be able to put our own images on pieces of paper. Because we could change it from any color, any day, any night, long as you own land to back it up. And we got some land in Africa. And if you're going to go there to become United States of Africa, we can have dual citizenship and own our land. But we must have sovereignty to govern our own self. That is one thing we will not let up off, because there's too many of us being locked away, taxing all of these people to get reparation for other people and not giving us proper representation is not going to be tolerated. And just because the rich entertainers have the money to buy themselves freedom, the small man and little woman will need to have a way to get reparations and get just cause in the courtroom. And we interrupted this segment to talk to you and to you and to you and to you to tell you that this type of behavior can only go on for so long after reaching a boiling point. And upon reaching a boiling point, change will have to come. I was born by the river in a little old shack. Oh, just up the road of peace. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change is gonna come. Oh, yes, it is. Oh, yes, it is. A change is going to come, people, and it's going to come soon. And it's not something that's going to have to be waited on. It's going to come in the twinkling of an eye. Because when the atmosphere gets adrift that there is a problem, and we talk to Mother Nature about it, making our request known, and that is what we're going to do now. Oh, Mother Nature, you who are our kinfolk, we are connected to you and the coyote and the owl and the water and the fish and the ocean and the sea. We ask you to rise up against this nation that have laid their people to putrefy, to wastedness in their own ways. We ask you to fight back when we ask you to come down, lightning, and we ask you to run up and tear down these fake institutions that exhaust itself against the will of God. We ask you to cry loud and to spare not and to lift up your voice, almighty wind, like a trumpet and show the house of Jacob their transgressions. We are not fighting against the principality, not only of flesh and blood, but principalities in high places that exalt themselves against the will of God. Human beings are to be treated like loving, kind individuals, not like rubbish and pushed aside. Human beings are to be given dignity. Our Constitution, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that we the people who have been called by the name of God will get proper representation and will be given the right to expedient trial and given the right to a jury of our own peers. How can you stand in the Constitution when many men have come together to bind themselves together for the wills and the rights of all human beings, as the preamble would say? How can you stand and infiltrate the system with corruptedness for our people? How can you say that we don't deserve proper representation? And how can you not realize it is not your will to decide, but it is the will that God told us to take dominion? And as we take dominion over this situation, things will be changing. And there'll be no way that you can hold people in incarceration falsely accused if you applying your Constitution and all of your articles and amendments. You must live by your constitutional rights, else your very laws will turn on you. We pray that the winds will come and blow up against the wilderness. We know that the paper that was written was even given by the African, as a papyrus was created for writing. The very paper that you write upon is something that Africans have given to the world. We've been given scribes, the ability to write, and all of these gifts we've been given. How is it now that we've fallen so low that we can't read a document or decipher it? Our minds will come back, and our memories will come back too, and we will not be swindled out of our birthright, and we will not be jarred out of a speedy trial and a rightful trial for all men and women who you hold these truths to be self-evident. If they're self-evident, then make them work for all men, giving all men and women rights to a speedy trial, rights to a lawyer of their selective choice, rights to the Constitution, and not as a 3/5 individual, and not as a minority, but as the Asiatic first man and woman. The trials that you allow to go forward that are falsified, the trials that you allow to go forward that are tainted, distorted through false and tainted deals or holes that are being dug. Well, you think men and women will fall and become snared in them, but you will fall back in those very holes to encapsulate you. This is my decree. It has been too long since we have watched this nonsense be paraded in the courtroom. Too long. Mother Nature is not happy with the situation. And the gods have grown up now, and they're speaking out. Please take heed to what I say in the spirit. God is watching everyone to see that Obama will turn that courtroom thing around if he can sit and write something for a minority and approve something on their account. Obama, I'm speaking to your spirit. Then God has called you to sit down with the black man and woman and to help us to free ourselves, so that our children are not snared in the penal institution. Our children are not locked away forever. If there's nothing done to assist and aid us, a spirit will rise up. And it might not be as kind as some of us are. It might not be as gentle as some of us are. A spirit will rise up after being so frustrated with indignity that's been taken away from man and woman. It used to be men, but now it's women, and I'm angry about it because women shouldn't have to be drugged. Women shouldn't have to be beaten to submission. And when you deputize anybody, they have to come righteous. They can't put a suit on and desecrate themselves representing an organization beating a woman down. They're going to have to understand that the Creator and nature will not tolerate it anymore. So what if you don't give us our reparation and you say there's no money? You're going to give us free and you're going to give us justice in these courtrooms. This is what I decree. Ladies and gentlemen, I thank you for giving me this half an hour in your world as I interrupted these broadcasters to bring you this special segment. I thank you so very much and ask that you will tune in with me on Monday. You know, I'm going on sabbatical. And as we pray through this weekend, we pray that every incarcerated man and woman, we pray that they are not molested and that they are freed in these prisons. We pray that restitution will come to those that are innocent. We pray that good lawyers will come forward at the sound of my voice, offer their services, and freed at that. Offer their services. And if they can't do the legwork, they can call Omi. She'll help them. But we must give back to our communities. We must not let our young sisters and brothers lay away wasted in prison. We must find a way to give our humanity back to the world, black or white. Indifference, if they need a lawyer, we must come to their case and their rescue. This has got to stop. Obama, if you're doing anybody any good, go in these prisons and look at the wastefulness of what's happening to our society. Look at it and come up with a solution of these first-time convicted felons and how you can prevent them from having to have their life destroyed and doing time for no reason at all. How can you stop this nonsense of taking a plea bargain? Obama, I'm calling you today. You've been called to help all people. Now help black and white who were falsely and convicted of a crime because they took a plea bargain. Obama, I'm calling on you today. You say you're for the righteousness of all people, then you must help those people in prison. And you must consider talking to us about settling this reparation. And I thank you for this opportunity, ladies and gentlemen, to spend this evening with you. And I'd like to say thank you so much, Melvin, for listening in. Melvin, are you still out there? Melvin? I think we still got Melvin out. Melvin, are you still out there? I want to say goodbye to Melvin and thank him so much. Melvin, are you still with us? Melvin, are you still? Are you still there, Melvin?
Yeah.
Well, Melvin, thank you so much for your input today. I really enjoyed having you on the show today. And a lot of things she said, which I'm going to give you the last few
words. No, I've got to go. But thank you for allowing me to say what I had to say. Thank you.
Thank you so very much, Melvin, for all the information. I appreciate it. And we are about to end the show, ladies and gentlemen, and I thank you so much. And I say on that note, old devil and Baba Boy to you, y'all. I'll see you on Monday. We are out of here for sabbatical. Have a great weekend, ladies and gentlemen, and we'll see you back here same time, same place on Monday. Bye-bye.